B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the home of the game. And these guys, Toucher and Rich, on Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Excitement level is on 1,000. Yeah, I'm excited and happy. Just to get back into the rhythm of game week, you know, the preparation, just the little nuggets that you can often forget.
You got to chill.
Nine and five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You're supposed to lose weight when you quit drinking. And I put on about 10 pounds because I wasn't eating.
Is it muscle?
No. No. I've never been weaker in my entire life.
So where are you? You lost 30 pounds originally. You gained some of it back.
I gained 10 back.
And so you're 10 over from where you started now?
Yeah. I'm heavier.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's probably your body just kind of going, what the hell? And now it's trying to figure stuff out and it's going to find all the right spots. And,
yeah, big farts.
You know, big farts.
Cause. Yeah. I woke up my wife because now I have to sleep in bed with my wife because I'm not snoring. So, yeah, like I woke up everyone farting today. I woke up my wife and my son.
Okay.
Yeah, me and Biden.
You and Joe Biden.
Biden, you ever have those like...
Okay.
Where you wake up but you can't move? That was Biden was hovering above me. And he goes, okay.
Okay, just said to you.
Okay.
Yes, he said, take more leaks, young man. All right, am I taking him on the phone? Okay. Yeah, and then I got to send Nick out because I need a little pick-me-up, a little soda. But it ain't happening now. Bert Breer, he is the main man. He's the head honcho over there at MMQB. He is kind enough to join us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Bert Breer, hello.
Hey, Fred. You come back and the Zoom goes just out, huh?
Yeah, it's all right. What are you going to do? You know?
Well, it's good to have you back, Fred. I'm happy to hear your voice. I know it sounds kind of weird, but it's good to have you back on the show.
Well, I appreciate.
I was actually. It's too bad that I'm gonna miss Joe giving me college football questions every week. So that's this could be a loss.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what about the Big Ten? I don't know. You know, it seems like they could do it, but who knows? But thank you, Bert, and thank you for your support off the air. I do appreciate that. Kevin Seifert from ESPN, not to plug your competitor, but he said last night was one of the greatest accomplishments in NFL history, and I tend to agree. Are you surprised how this is working out, and do you think that the NFL can sustain it over a whole plate of games?
I think they've done everything they possibly can to make it work, and I think a lot of people deserve a lot of credit. You know, the 6 weeks that the NFL and the NFLPA spent negotiating this and finding the best way to do it. You know, a lot of people worked a lot of hours to make this work and to make sure that, you know, they could at least give themselves the best chance. Now they're, you know, subject to a lot of the outside factors that everybody else is, but, you know, I think the main thing was, you know, let's try to create like these almost mini bubbles, like these ecosystems, and then let's make sure that COVID never gets in. And let's make sure if COVID does get in, we're able to kind of catch it and, you know, figure out who it might have affected. And that's why, you know, really at the beginning, they did have the positive tests. They had 64, I believe, from the beginning of camp to August 11th. And it's also why they were able to contain it thereafter. And since August 12th, they've had 5 positive tests of players. And that's, I think they've administered something like 65,000 tests over that time to players, which is, I mean, just mind blowing when you think about the way this thing has ripped through the country. And so they've given themselves the best shot. Things change a little bit now. You know, when they're in training camp, these guys are, you know, in the building a lot and around each other a lot. Now they're going to have some more free time. People's kids are going to go back to school. Maybe people's wives go back to work. So, you know, there are some new variables introduced into the environment. You know, and I think they're still sort of subject to what happens in the country. If things get worse in October, November, then, you know, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for them. But, you know, I'm a lot more confident now than I was 6 weeks ago that they're going to be able to pull this off and not only start the season as they did last night, but also be able to finish it without much of a problem.
Okay, so let's say this, you know, continues and things go well. The one weird moment about last night was I thought that they were pumping in fake crowd noise because it was so loud with 16,000 people. And Al Michaels said that they weren't. So if we take his word for it, and they were not, that's one hell of a competitive advantage for one team to be able to have fans in the stands and other stadiums to not have that. Is there any concern on the NFL side that could slant things one way or the other? Because I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal, but from last night, it sure did sound like it.
Rich, I'd give you the three golden words I think I've given you guys, you know, in the past when it comes to NFL decision-making, and that's follow the money. You know, I think really what this boils down to, you're going to have coaches who aren't going to be happy about this, but you know, for the owners and the players, the people who really have a seat at the table when it comes to negotiating over this stuff, you know, really it behooves both of them to try to recover as much revenue as they possibly can. They're certainly not going to make what they make in a normal year this year. And the idea is to mitigate the losses as best they can. That's obviously good for the owners because it means they'll make more money. And it's good for the players, too, because, you know, what the players are facing over the next 3 or 4 years is that revenue shortfall affecting the salary cap? And, you know, the salary cap goes down next year. That means veteran players get cut. It means the free agent market won't work the way that it normally does. And so it's in everybody's best interest to try to minimize the revenue shortfall as best they can. And if that means having 20,000 fans in one stadium at a time when fans are literally prohibited from going into another stadium by state law, then that's something they're willing to do. And I know it doesn't, you know, it's not going to help when a team like the Texans is affected by that last night and their fans have to watch that. And it's not going to help, you know, the coaches whose jobs are on the line on a week-to-week basis. But bottom line is I think this year you're going to see, and it's, you know, apparent in those tarps, you saw the ads there, the league's going to do everything they can. The teams are going to do everything they can to try to recover as much revenue as they possibly can.
So it sounds to me that this fake crowd noise in the stadiums that don't have don't allow fans becomes even more important now because they realize just how much of an advantage is for teams that do have fans. So how is that going to be administered? Like, who is going to be controlling the crowd noise? Is it somebody who is, like, say, for the Patriots, is it a Patriots staffer who controls it, or who's going to be administering all that?
Yeah, so well, the whole thing about this, they actually got lucky here. So for the last 3 or 4 years, NFL Films has been capturing natural audio unique to every stadium in the league. And so, you know, what they've done is they've been able to kind of capture audio that's going to allow them to recreate what each stadium individually looks like. So it's not going to be just, you know, generic crowd noise. It's going to be crowd noise that's actually coming from the stadium that the game's being played in. As for how they're going to administer it, there are limits on decibels, which all of that was negotiated. And then there's going to be an engineer who's going to have a soundboard. And I know that sounds crazy, but you know what I was told is it's going to be pretty simple. You actually probably know more about how this works than I do, to be honest. But you know, it's literally going to be a guy, an engineer sitting at a soundboard and pressing buttons at different points of the game, third downs, red zone, all that different stuff. And so there are going to be rules on how all of that's going to work. And, of course, there's going to be checks and balances. But, yeah, I mean, you know, like you said, Rich, it's going to be a guy sitting behind the soundboard who's going to be running the show for each of these 32 teams.
Well, I got to tell you, Ernie Adams is going to be, he's going to
have that soundboard.
Sound engineer, Ernie Adams. Yeah.
He's going to have that soundboard up in the duck. He's going to be up there in the air conditioning unit making it happen. But, I mean, look out, Lions fans. You go into that, restore the roar. I mean, that is going to be...
raucous environment.
I mean, it is going to be Ford overwhelming. Field. By the way, Jim McBride having the Lions in the Super Bowl in his Boston Globe picks.
Wait, what?
Wow, how about that?
He's got the Lions in the Super Bowl.
McBride's a smart guy.
Yes, he is. He's.
I guess Matt Patricia must have been a pretty good source for him.
But if you're Patricia, do you want that? If you're Patricia, is that something that you want?
That pressure to be in the Super Bowl?
No,
I'm just messing around.
I like no, stick your guns, Bert. I like you taking shots like that.
He sounds good. He says to hell with him.
That's me. That's not Jim. That's me. That's like that. Have my mind.
McBride's a hack. He says
that's right.
He says that he's. Let me see. I'll find out what I have it right here.
So, Bert, who are you picking to be in the Super Bowl?
Who's your source? Bert.
All right, listen to this. Okay, so he has the Lions winning the North, which I guess isn't the... I mean, it could happen.
It could break that way if Stafford is okay, yes.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers aren't world beaters.
Adrian Peterson leads them to the promised land, yeah, yes.
Well, they got a running back. Then you got, Trubisky's the quarterback in Chicago, and then you have a Vikings team that's on the way down. I mean, Kirk Cousins is going to have a high five party and make it all happen.
Aaron Rodgers.
But he has him winning the Super Bowl.
He has the Lions winning the Super Bowl?
Lions over Titans. Sorry,
dude,
Tom.
Dude, do you know how, like, he will go down in hot take fame if that ends up happening? Okay. Like, that's, like, one of the greatest all-time Hail Mary takes that we've heard in a while. And if it happens...
I think of Jim as being, like, a pretty, like, level-headed, like, non-hot takey guy. And just throwing that grenade at him. Wow, Lions over Titans.
Okay, and I'm from Detroit. I love Detroit. It gets a horrible rap. It's become a great walking city. It's a huge city. People don't respect that. However, if the Lions, A, make the Super Bowl, it's going to be bad. But if they win the Super Bowl, it will be rioting like you've never seen. It's going to be like the whole city took acid. And just was walking around. It's going to be like Altamont. There's going to be Hell's Angels killing guys. Like, it's going to be...
Wasn't that Batman movie where the Scarecrow sprinkled that dust all over Gotham?
That was the reboot. Crazy. Yeah, that was the first movie of the reboot.
Yeah.
I'm not even lying when I say this. Like, one of my earliest memories, 4 years old, I remember, because you know my family's from Detroit too, right? One of my earliest memories is the Detroit Tigers... like riots in 1984 and seeing those images on TV.
YouTube it. They have these poor bastards from local news on a crane, and it says like Gurr Eum, like, because they've just ripped the Tiger Stadium stuff. Yeah. And they're just getting, I mean, it looks like the Blues Brothers when they're at the country bar. They're just getting pummeled. I mean, you can YouTube it, pummeled with bottles and everything. All right, so here's what McBride says, which I love this pick. Lions over Titans. Sorry, Tom. No backyard title this year with Brady's new playground as the setting. Matt Patricia wins this battle of Belichick disciples that features a ton of sterling defensive plays, including Daron Harmon pick six that closes it out. So maybe he's being cute with the Patriots thing, but there you go. He's got the Lions winning the Super Bowl.
I don't know. What would you do if the Lions actually won a Super Bowl?
Nothing.
You and Hardy, you know, you've been waiting for so long.
It would just be bizarre. You know what? I would go to Detroit. I wouldn't be able to get a hotel room, but I'd have to stay with a friend.
Right. By the way, Fred, it looks like the Wall Street Journal picked the Detroit Lions to win the Super Bowl.
Really?
Like, this is weird. I mean, it's like I'm looking at an article that just came out yesterday, and it says the year 2020 is already sideways, so let's just pick the Detroit Lions to win the Super Bowl. Now, I have to continue to read all of this, but it sounds like,
interesting.
You know, this guy who's writing, this is not a humor article. This is in the sports section, and he's throwing that out there. That's pretty – oh, yeah, yeah. Wall Street Journal is picking them to win the Super Bowl. This is interesting.
Mm. Well, they've won one playoff game in my lifetime, and I'm 45. So
they got robbed out of another one, though, Fred.
That was fixed. You want to talk about
the Dallas game, right?
Yeah. A rungle.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an rungle, an umpire situation. All right. Bert Breer is going to continue to join us. We're going to try to pop him up there on Zoom, and we can talk about the Patriots and the Lions.
who are going for Super Bowl glory this year. I would have to go to the Super Bowl. We'd have to broadcast from there. And I'll go to a strip club sober for the first time in my
Tampa,
life.
Right?
Yeah,
Tampa,
right?
Tampa this year. Bert, Tampa? Is that right?
Yeah, it's Tampa. And guess what?
I can confirm several establishments around the stadium. Like, I was down there a couple weeks ago. Several establishments around the stadium are up and running, Fred.
Yeah, Mons Venus, you got to wear mesh shorts. And especially if I'm sober, look out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to leave there. I'm going to have to bring a change of clothes. All right, Bert Breer, we will talk to you coming up right after the break.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Near the right side, fires Tyreek Hill. He's got it! Touchdown! Kansas City, the third touchdown pass of the night for Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs convert on third and goal from the two.
Me against the world, like it was before my life became a movie, and they used to use my motherfucking trailer to tease me with. But I flipped that script like A.B. for the painkiller, so pop the lid off that safety, so it made me feel amazing, maybe still a bravery. And if I may reiterate, I ain't even need a script, ain't being conceited, but I made it to radio, eat it. I still never
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. That is Detroit First. Everybody, it's Jim McBride and the Wall Street Journal picked the Lions to win the Super Bowl, so it's definitely going to happen. Bert Breer from MMQB on the line with us. Now, John and I were talking about this, and it's worth discussing on the air. For me, Patriot games during my time here since 2006 at times were unbearable because I'd be coaching my son's team, and then all the elite pricks that were sitting there just, you know, checking their phones for the score would be stuck in this crap. And I was telling John, I'm like, I think it's going to be a lot more fun to watch the Patriot games now because I won't have that just crippling hatred of them as the games go on, because now at least I, you know, Cam Newton's a fresh face, and you know, it's going to be interesting. Now it doesn't seem as
it's not a given that they're going to be unbeatable.
It doesn't seem like it's this, you know, we're the best.
They're not the Death Star anymore.
However, and Bert, I've said this many times, the worst thing about being a Patriots fan is other Patriots fans like that, like the fans that Fred runs into. But let's just say, against all odds, the odds, again, are very low, but suppose they start the season with wins against Miami, Seattle, and Vegas, and they're 3-0 heading to Kansas City for that big game in Week 4. Do you think, Fred, that these entitled a-holes will be back?
They'll be worse, right?
Yep, exactly.
See, I don't think so.
No. Like, see, Belichick's a genius.
You guys
don't know what you're talking about. Wait. They're never going to lose another game again.
But isn't that interesting as hell to you? But isn't that fun? Like, to me, that's interesting as hell. If, like, Belichick ends up being and can make the magic happen with Cam Newton and a bunch of receivers that, you know, were rated as one of the worst cores in the past 14 years from Pro Football Focus. I mean, if Belichick can make that happen, dude, that's fun as hell. That part of it's great.
No, but that section of Patriots fans that hold up the blue wall that have go into hiding here are going to be right back in your face.
I think for everyone, there's like this. And look, I don't think the last 20 years, I know what it's like to root for a powerhouse, like, because the one sports team that I root for has been really good the last 15 years. And it's annoying for everybody else in our conference that they are that way, but it doesn't get old watching Ohio State beat Michigan by 5 touchdowns. So, like, I'm saying this for a reason, though. Like, I think for fans of the team and my friends who, you know, I grew up here, so my friends who are fans of the team, I don't think anything that they saw the last 20 years got old. But for the rest of the country, for everybody who's not, like, emotionally attached to the team, I mean, that wasn't like, was it interesting watching Belichick and Brady like reconfirm something over and over and over again?
No,
that wasn't all that interesting for the rest of the country. And now this becomes incredibly interesting for everyone, right? Because now we get to see these two all-time greats, but they're in different places, right? Yeah. Like, so yeah. Like forever, it's been like, well, where does Belichick stop and Brady start as far as credit goes, right? Well, now we sort of get, like, it's not like we're going to get a final answer on who gets, who deserves the most credit for the last 20 years.
Because Brady's all old and not good anymore.
But we're at least going to get to see the two of them separate, right? Like, we're at least going to get to see, like, it was interesting. When I was in Tampa, you guys are like this. When I was in Tampa, I had somebody tell me, well, you know, all the guys who worked out with Brady at that high school, you know, in April and May and June and July.
Yeah.
All those guys like adopted Tom Brady's like training methods. Like that's everything Brady wanted here in Foxborough, right? Like everything. Like he wanted the Patriots to adopt all the different stuff he was doing. So some of that's happened in Tampa, and you can tell how he's permeated the entire program.
But they all get hurt.
Yeah. Why is Mike Evans hurt then?
Yeah. Because they were doing it. Just and like, why was Edelman hurt?
And then on the flip side, we get to see like how much of Brady was a creation of Belichick and getting to see what he does with Cam Newton, right? So I think from that standpoint, like the storylines we're going to get this year versus what we've gotten the last 3 or 4 years are way more interesting. That doesn't mean it's more enjoyable for Patriots fans, because what they've had the last 20 years has been like a freaking magic carpet ride, you know?
Bert, I've been saying this about this Patriots team. I can't think of a professional team in any sport that I've began a season going, I can't tell if this team's going to be really good or just awful, because you could make a pretty decent argument on both sides of it. Cam Newton, was he going to be injured? Will he be able to go back to what he was? But if he is able to go back to what he was and he's got a coach like Bill Belichick, then maybe he'll be fantastic. But it's also the same crew that he, you know, Brady couldn't do much of anything with last year. But you never know, in a new offense where Cam Newton's this kind of weapon, then maybe it will work. Hey, there's, you know, big pieces on the defense that are gone now, but these young guys, you know what I mean? It's like,
we have all these young guys on offense. N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, and we don't know what he's going to be.
And it's like, young guys have always struggled here. Maybe now that Brady's gone, you simplify things a little bit and it becomes easier for young guys. There's just endless questions that I think that's what's so interesting about it, is there's endless questions about this season that we're going to get answers to over the next 17 weeks.
So what do you think? Like, I mean, just from what you're seeing, because it's, I have no idea. I can't tell. Where do you think it's going to go? Do you think this is a better than we think team, or it's going to be a disappointment?
I think it's going to be I don't think people remember 2008 in the right context, because if you go back and you look, the schedule was really soft that year. Like, they played the two West divisions that year at a time when the West divisions weren't very good. And if you go back and you look at that 11-5 team in 2008, you'll see they didn't really beat any great teams, and they got beat pretty bad by some good teams, right? And that's not to say what they did wasn't an accomplishment. It was. When your quarterback goes down like that to win 11 games, I don't care who you're playing, it's a big accomplishment, right?
Sure.
But there was a little bit of an element there of, well, you know, we're going to be very consistent across the board, and at the end of the day, like, the teams that come in here and don't have their crap together are going to get beat by us. And I think it's going to be a little bit like that, right? Like, I don't know that they're good enough to keep up with the Kansas Cities and the Baltimores. And I think we saw how good Kansas City is again last night. I don't know if they're going to be good enough to keep up with those teams. But, like, I do think that it's just – I mean, like, how much of Bill's program over the last 20 years – has been like waiting for like 25 other teams in the league to screw it up and just let it come to him.
Oh, you see it all the time.
Right. Yep.
I mean, like, and you watch the games, and we've talked about this in the past, how like Mike Tomlin takes a beating around here for like some of his in-game stuff, right? Mike Tomlin's been the head coach of the Steelers for 13 years, never had a losing year. Think about that. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been to two, and people around here talk about him like he's a moron. Why is that? Well, it's because you're so used to seeing the game coached a certain way. You're used to seeing the program run a certain way. And it's such a, like, together tight operation. Like, I think that like, even when the talent's not great, even in years where the talent's not what it was in past years, I think what you still see is a team that's ready when another team messes up, right? Like, or when another team doesn't have its act together, the Patriots are ready to prey on that. And I think that that's sort of what this year becomes, where you see that they're able to take advantage of bad football being played in some places, bad teams being on the schedule in other places, And I think that it gets that in today's NFL, I think gets you to 8 or 9 wins. Again, I don't know that they're going to be able to compete at the highest level in the AFC, because I don't think they're, you know, in the talent ballpark of the Chiefs or the Ravens. But like, based on the program and what it's been for the last 20 years, I have a hard time seeing where they don't get to at least 500.
All right, we're going to talk about the AFC East. We'll talk about Buffalo. Also, are you going to be a condescending super prick if you're a Patriots fan? 617-779-0985.
Like Fred's friends in Newton, right?
Yeah, just like everybody. Because I'm thinking that's not going to be the case, and maybe I won't have the extreme hatred of them that I normally carry around, but maybe I will. All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sports Hub. Now, more Touch Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That was brutal. Yeah, I didn't do very good with that thing. But it'll be better the next time. So I appreciate you asking that, though. It was a bit of a mess, but we'll get it fixed.
You see, Fred, if you didn't know he was talking about his mask, you could think it was maybe dinner he was talking about.
Yeah, it was a big mess. You know, he thought that he'd have a little room under that mask. Andy Reid, if you didn't see it last night, had basically a welder's mask on. He didn't want anything covering his face. He wanted something he could get his hand under in case he had to have an emergency hot dog. But, he had that thing on. And it's a little ridiculous. The whole thing is a little ridiculous.
Well, you couldn't see his face. And by the way, how about NBC and all their graphics just going all in on Andy Reid being fat? Like, they just had, remember the big sundae and all the food, like, laid out where they're talking about his achievements? They're like, yeah, you know what? The guy's really fat.
Yeah. it's and you know he's going to live forever. Andy Reid's going to be, like, 105 and still fat.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those guys that, like, his body is equipped to be that way. That genetically, he's a perfect specimen.
Well, you saw him when he was like 11. He was a giant back then, too, yeah. Right?
They showed that from time to time, his bunt pass and kick thing. All right.
Yeah. Wins games, loves cheeseburgers.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, let the man eat. It's what his body needs. That's his, you know, he's a very zen guy. He knows his body is working on levels that we're not privy to. All right, Bert from MMQB. All right, so the AFC East, when you think about the Patriots, you know there's a lot of unknowns, as Rich has brought up. Obviously, the talent is lacking. A lot of people have opted out of the season, and now they're probably looking at themselves saying, why did I do that? I could have been making a lot of money. But nonetheless, they did. So the AFC East, now, Buffalo is a cute pick that people have. However, Josh Allen is their quarterback, and he's never going to be any good. You saw a Jets team go 6-2 to finish out last season, but they are not banking on this season, as evidenced by the Jamal Adams trade. They're stacked up for next offseason, as is often the case with the Jets.
C.J. Mosley not playing this year either.
Yeah, C.J. Right. Mosley. He's been a real good pick for them. He's been a real good free agent signing. Yeah, he just decided, like, I'm going to take the most money ever.
I miss talking Jets with you, Fred.
Yeah, I'm going to take the most money ever to be a leader of this team and then get hurt and then opt out.
I mean, what a fantastic contract that was.
He seems to have things under control in that locker room as well.
Well, Joe Douglas is, at least he's got some job security. But nonetheless, they don't seem to be doing much. And then everyone's going to rip on Sam Darnold, and I'm going to have to consistently say, well, who is he throwing to? He has a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
And Mims, who hasn't been able to practice with the team.
By the way, and this is a question asked, Bert, Joe Douglas is angry that people are underestimating the Jets. Is he crazy or not?
No, he's setting a tone, John. But let me get to the... And then also you have the Dolphins, who everyone was very high on last year. And, you know, they have Fitzmagic, and then they have the kid waiting in the wings.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any challenge for the Patriots in the division this year based on the unknowns with the Patriots?
I think there's tremendous pressure on the Bills because so much of their team's coming of age now. And I would argue, like, pretty easily right now, they got the best roster in the division. And I mean, like, I don't know if there's any team in the NFL that's got a better 26 and under core than they do. Tre'Davious White, Tremaine Edmonds, Ed Oliver, Stephon Diggs, Deion Dawkins. I mean, there are a lot of good young players who should continue to get better on their roster. So there's pressure on the Bills, I think, not only to win the division this year, but also to get more out of Josh Allen at quarterback. So I would say Buffalo is sort of the team that's got the most pressure on them as a result of Tom Brady leaving. And I really think there's pressure on all three of the teams. You know, like forever they've sort of had this crutch where it's like, all right, like, well, you know, we can be competitive, but we're never going to really stack up to the behemoth there because that's Brady and Belichick. And now that's gone, you know? And so now, like, if the Patriots were to win the division again, I think it makes everybody else look even a little bit worse. And so I think there's pressure on the other three teams in the division to begin with. I think there's even more pressure on Buffalo because of where they are in their rebuild. They're further along than the other two. Miami, I think, will continue to be feisty. I don't think I'd be a little worried about their offensive line. You'll see it on Sunday. They're going to start two or three rookies up front. And I think this is a bad year to be doing that. And then the Jets, they completely rebuilt their offensive line. Obviously, the Jamal Adams trade means they're turning things over on defense again. And so I really think, like, looking at the division right now, I'd say Buffalo has to be the favorite coming out of the gate. And because of that, because of the circumstance of Brady leaving, I think that there's a tremendous amount of pressure on them to get it done, as there is pressure on everyone, I think, in the division to look a little better than they have over the last 20 years.
Any confidence in Josh Allen at all? Because that's really what it comes down to, is that Buffalo, like you said, is
stacked. If he's competent, that's a good team.
Is he competent, though? Because he seems to be the worst quarterback for that team because they just need a game manager, and he is, by all evidence, not that. Even in high school, not that.
They've tried to turn him into that a little bit more. And I know one of the things, Brian Daboll, of course, their offensive coordinator, was here twice and was around Brady a lot. And he's had Allen watch a lot of Brady and what they tried to coach into him last year, because everybody who's ever been with the kid before has been, you know, tried to take advantage of his arm and done a lot of stuff downfield. And what they did last year in going and getting John Brown and Cole Beasley and drafting Devin Singletary was to try to create like easy completions for him and get him to be, like you said, a little bit more of a game manager. And now they bring in another guy and Stephon Diggs, who can be a downfield weapon. So I like the process that they've sort of gone through in doing this. It's like, all right, we're going to dial it back and we want you to be a little bit more of a point guard out there. And now you kind of circle around back and you give him another downfield weapon in Diggs. I like how they've brought him along, and I think that they've done the right things there. I don't know that he's ever going to be, you know, a 70% passer. Like, athletically, he's actually not that different from Cam Newton. And so I think that's how you have to sort of look at him. Like, what Cam Newton was in Carolina, what Ben Roethlisberger has been at his best, like, if they can get the most out of Josh Allen, I think that's the sort of quarterback he's going to look like.
Okay, so I've been seeing all this stuff, especially after the Leonard Fournette signing with the Buccaneers, and it's like, look what Tom Brady's got. It's going to be stacked. Leonard Fournette, LeSean McCoy, Rob Gronkowski, and then they throw in Mike, you know, Evans and O.J. Howard, of course. But to me, this is like anytime that someone tries to make a super team, it almost always backfires. And to be honest, a couple of those names on there are names, but they're also someone else's trash. You know, like guys that weren't really wanted on their teams, but still maybe have the potential to be talented. Are you buying into, because there are a lot of people picking the Buccaneers to either go to the Super Bowl or you know, be a strong contender. Are you buying into what's going on down there in Tampa?
Well, do you guys remember like in 2011 when we did that with the Eagles, right? Coming out of the lockout, they went crazy signing all of these guys. And do you remember who coined the phrase dream team?
No.
It was Vince Young who like that was the over the top move. Like, oh my God, like look who they're bringing in to be their backup quarterback. Vince Young, who had been like, I mean, just an absolute like dumpster fire in Tennessee. And it's sort of like when Leonard Fournette signed with the Bucks, it like gave me that vibe. Like, wait a second. Like, yeah, like this guy was great in college and was awesome coming out his rookie year, but what the hell has he done since then? And it's sort of like one of those things where it's like a recognizable name. And I think it's sort of, you know, like a signing like that becomes like a symbol of what a team's doing. You know what I mean? Like, it's like we're pulling out all the stops this year and we're going to be super aggressive. And I think in a certain way, it symbolizes like what Brady wanted, right? Like, isn't this what Brady wanted in New England? Like,
yeah,
every time
some,
every time someone comes available, I want us to be in the mix, right? Like every time an offensive skill player is out there, go get him for me. And that's what the Bucks have sort of done. I mean, whether it's, you know, trading for Rob Gronkowski, signing Shady McCoy, who, you know, is now in his 12th year at a position where most guys don't last more than four or five. Leonard Fournette, obviously, another one. They keep O.J. Howard and Cam Brate despite trading for Gronk. You know, you see all these moves that they've made, and it's the sort of aggression that Brady wanted the Patriots to act with. It's going to be really interesting. I will say this, having been like when I was down there in camp, that really is like that has become Tom Brady's team. Like that operation, you can tell like everything's sort of like he's got a lot of control over the way that place operates and the way people conduct themselves. He's had a huge effect in that way. And I think if I was a Buccaneers fan, like that would probably be what would give me a ton of hope is seeing like, okay, like, you know, Gronk, like, I'm not sure what he's got left. Like, Leonard Fournette wasn't great in Tampa. Who knows, or wasn't great in Jacksonville. Shady McCoy, who knows how much he has left. But you have this guy who's kind of, like, permeating the entire program where I think you can at least be hopeful that he's going to be able to squeeze whatever's left out of those guys and get the most of everybody around him, which, I mean, to be fair, is exactly what he did for a long time in New England.
Jason Pierre-Paul, Ndamukong Suh, Rob Gronkowski, LeSean McCoy.
It's like the 2015 team. It's like the 2015 All-Pro team.
Yeah, it's a fantasy team. It's my fantasy team from, you know.
I'm looking at this, and people are like celebrating. I'm like, you know, yeah, it's going to be good. And if you're a Bucks fan, as you said, I mean, you're used to just trash. But I'm like, speaking of trash, a lot of those names were somewhat another team's trash that they just let go. And I don't know. But
I mean, there are lots of questions. Like, okay, so what does Gronk look like? What does Shady McCoy look like? How does Mike Evans, you know, fit with Tom Brady? Because he's sort of a different type of weapon than Brady's had before. Can Shaq Barrett, who had 14 sacks last year, can he repeat what he did before? Do Sue and Pierre-Paul, like you said, have anything left in the tank? They're relying on a lot of young guys in the secondary. So there's a ton of talent there. There's no question about that. How does that fit together? Like, how does Brady react when, you know, there's the first sign of trouble, you know, like when he doesn't have, you know, Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick to work with anymore? There are all of these questions, you know, so, I mean, like, there's talent, but there's questions, like, connected to a lot of the pieces that they brought in as well.
All right, we'll finish up with Bert Breer coming up. Also, we have the return of Ray Lewis's podcast. That's all coming up in just a moment. 985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We'll do Ray Lewis next hour, but I think we should do Skip Bayless at 8. Because I usually don't pay any heed to these guys got to come up with something every day, but Skip Bayless is just... I'll give my whole situation on that and what I think should be the repercussions.
I don't think that there has been anything that someone has said either on TV or anywhere that just unanimously everyone went... What?
Well, he's put himself in a situation that's very precarious, and I'll explain my thinking on that. Obviously, I don't think he should be fired by any stretch of the imagination, nor do I think he should be suspended. He shared an opinion, and he better not back off of it. He better not back off of it.
That's the first thing he's going to do.
Because it's in his show this morning. I'll get into it. We have Bert here. I don't want to waste the man's time.
Fair enough.
We have Bert here.
I also, like, you guys broke some news to me. Ray Lewis has a podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Well, thanks for listening.
But yeah. We used to do Thursdays with Ray. We put it on hold for a little bit. But,
And well, I know glorious. About Ray. Yeah, I know, I know about you guys' history with Ray. I just didn't know he had a podcast.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful.
The episode with Deion Sanders is worth a listen, Bert. Really.
Oh, I'm sure that is.
Two great minds butting up against each other. And hooray for all the parents who sent their kids to Deion Sanders' school.
What, Prime Prep?
Yeah,
Prime Prep.
Prime Prep.
Because Lord knows. That actually existed. Like, that seems like something from a movie or a bad like commercial.
Well, yeah, if you look at him, I mean, he's obviously fast. So, I mean, you got to let your kids get educated by
him. He's a rapper, too, Fred. Come on.
Yeah. He's a rapper that knew he had gator shoes.
Was it Must Be the Money? Was that the one?
That's it. You know
it. That's it, right?
Yeah. Don't ask.
Don't pretend like it wasn't like a number one hit.
Yeah. When gators on my feet. The best thing is when Rich repeated the lyrics to him, and he hit, and he got into the. You know he's rich because of the way he's like enunciating things. That is just Atlanta in 1998. I'm not even sure if he was on that team, but that was just Atlanta. That was Too Short going down in Country Club of the South booming.
Yeah, he
that was
like
right
that
around
one.
Like wasn't that right around when like didn't
Left Eye
burned down Andre Rison's house.
I just revisited that story this past week. I'm not kidding you. I don't know it came up, but I was talking to my wife about that, and I found myself going down a rabbit hill, like educating myself.
Like imagine if that happened now.
Listen. All right. So my I lived in Atlanta. My best friend. I don't know if I lived there when she burnt down Andre Rison's place. I don't think I did yet. But my best friend's girlfriend, who ended up being his wife, who's now his ex-wife, her rich beyond imagination. So he was heir to like the Cisco food product thing. It was Meisel Cisco, or at least in the Midwest. Wow. And he sold it. And he's this multi-millionaire. And they had this house in this area called Country Club of the South, which was in Alpharetta, a suburb of Atlanta. And it was all these like McMansions, these huge mansions. And Ron Gant lived there. Across the street and in his son's room, there was just a big mural of Ron Gann on the wall. So he's like, son,
be like
this
me.
Is me. You would hear this like thunderous bass. It would be Too Short driving through. It just must be the money everywhere. It was fantastic. Time to be alive.
Well, at least I got to ask him about it at the Super Bowl.
Dion, could you finish this line for me? Diamond Rolex. Yeah. Gators on my feet.
It's on the album.
What do you remember most about making the primetime album back in the day?
That I had fun. I had a lot of fun. Yeah. I really did.
See, I go deep. I'm like a legit fan.
Don't talk that loud. Everybody see you.
But I'm like a legit fan. Like, I like the one. What's the one that goes scooping up the ladies with the biggest butts?
No. I don't know about that one. Inappropriate.
Yeah, he did not like what I was bringing up, lyrics that he had actually written.
Well, I never even thought about this, but like, Rich, that would have been like your wheelhouse, right? Like, you would have been like a teenager when Dion was in the Falcons, right?
Oh, yeah. So I used to play that album as a joke when I worked at a music store, like at the time, because the primetime album cover is the greatest. It's the worst. Like, it's like, hey, I'm in front of a big clock because time and primetime. Look at me, I'm pretty cool. And I would go deep. Like, I went.
What is the message behind "Heidi, Heidi, Hey"? Track 12 on the primetime album.
Y'all thinking the same thing I'm thinking, right? Okay, we just gonna keep it down, right?
Yeah. Was Hammer a big influence on that song?
Yeah, he did not want to talk about that at all, even when I brought it up a third time later.
Do you think that Jimmy Garoppolo's gotten to the point where he can say, "Why You Envy Me," the name of track 3 off the primetime album?
God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you.
I don't know why he doesn't want to discuss it. He acts like it never happened. Well, there's nothing to be ashamed of.
Because he's a humorless prick. I think that's why.
I mean, if you see Deion Sanders, he really has to deny his past. I mean, he's someone who's held in such high regard as intellectual. I mean, the idea that he was being to chicks with big butts, I mean, it's just, it's not the narrative he wants to set today.
It's beneath him.
Yeah, it's really beneath him. I mean, he's such a high standard of a class act. All right, well, Bert Breer, thank you so much for the time, sir. And so you like the Bills in the East.
I picked the Bills in the East. I did pick the Patriots to go to the playoffs, though. Like I said, Fred, it's great to have you back. I can't wait to work with you guys all year.
Thanks, Bert. We really do appreciate it. I appreciate you reaching out.
Biggest butts.
And, you know, go out. You only live once. You could die today. So just, you know, if you see a nice big butt, pull down your glasses to the edge of your nose and just remark to yourself,
Scooping up the women with the biggest butts.
Yeah, don't put her in a situation. Just admire it. Not even as a sexual object. Just as an object that God created.
You know, in a way, you're actually showing her respect, right? Like, that's kind of like, it's a sign of respect.
Yeah, I mean, don't even let her see, but just, you know, God's creatures, you know? All right, Bert, thank you so much for the time. No commercials here, just the headlines, and then we'll get into Skip Bayless finally saying something. Usually I pay no heed, but he better not do a collection of things today that I have laid out in my brain. We'll have that for you. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.